say so.
We have the 19.5 Township of the Archipelago, Resolution 22-195, securing Canada's $1 billion investment in a strengthened freshwater action plan. And I'll read this, but Archipelago is famous for their long resolutions. So. Resolution 23-31, moved by Councilor Teckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support Township of the Archipelago Resolution Number 22-195 to support protecting source water, planning for climate change impacts and shoreline resilience, ensuring safe and affordable water services for all our residents, and building up a sustainable blue economy in the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence River Basin. And whereas ensuring healthy communities and a strong economy for Canadians depend on securing Canada's source water, which includes addressing water quality issues, contaminants, and pollution, supporting biodiversity and reversing wetland and fish and wildlife habitat loss, and improving community knowledge to empower citizens to safeguard the essential resource. And whereas nearly half of Canada's population lives in the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence River Basin, a region that will continue to see accelerated growth resulting in greater land and resource use pressures that will further contribute to water availability and quality issues. And whereas the Freshwater Action Plan and the Great Lakes Protection Initiative it supported were first announced in the 2017 Canadian federal budget with a $44.84 million investment over 5 years, and whereas the federal government only committed $19.6 million in funding in the 2022 budget for the Freshwater Action Plan, falling short of the aforementioned commitment. And whereas the recommendations outlined in Action Plan 2020-2030 should serve as the basis of programming for strengthened federal action in the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence River Basin through its Strengthened Freshwater Action Plan. And whereas Freshwater Action Plan funding should largely be directed to community groups, local governments, and First Nations to ensure that investments made will have the biggest local impact and empower action at the local level, rather than being held back for federal administration and operations. And whereas it is critical to implement a strengthened freshwater action plan, including accelerating a $1 billion over 5 years, into creating a Canada Water Agency to consolidate and coordinate federal water efforts and support provinces and territories in addressing systemic issues impacting the viability of the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence River Basin and the communities dependent upon the region's source water. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Township of McKellar calls on the federal government to commit $1 billion in funding over 5 years for a strengthened freshwater action plan and budget 2023, and be it finally resolved that the Council of the Township of McKellar directs its staff to submit this resolution to the Federal Deputy Minister and Minister of Finance, the Minister of Environment and Climate Change, the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Environment and Climate Change, responsible for the Canada Water Agency, and local member of Parliament, and the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. Discussion. Councilor Rowland. No, I'm not repeating.
You know, I don't think you want to. We don't have enough time. This is a different angle on the same issue, but one of the things that the Environment Committee discovered in the last year at least was that other areas, most areas in Ontario, including areas far to the north of us, are covered by, I won't get the name right, but a source protection plan that governs how lakes and things, you know, not the Great Lakes, but lakes are managed and what have you. For no reason that we have figured out, we are not included in that. So none of our lakes, and going east of us, I think, generally over Tonsville, I'm not sure if it goes further than that, are one of the few areas that are not covered by that. I mean, it's not the same issue, so, I mean, it isn't really this resolution, but it is critical to note for the same reasons that this is important to McKellar for our lakes as well. But I'm going to pass this along to Jennifer, the committee chair, just so she's aware of it. Again, it's just useful background information, so.
No, I remember in some of your meetings that was a question, I guess, that we're not covered under any source protection. People were concerned with the wetlands and also the drainage system, what comes into our lakes and from where. And so I think you had a study done on that. Dr. Mitchell did the study.
Yeah, Carl, yeah.
I think he did conclude at one point that the source coming in from the I don't know what it's actually called, but It's not as
the watershed. Watershed. That's what it's called. There you go.
It's not as serious as people might think. Yeah. Even though when they look at it, they question, oh, what are we receiving here? But he said actually it didn't have a great effect as far as percentage.
And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason why we were excluded.
No.
Right? They just didn't like us, I guess. But.
Well, I did review the freshwater action plan, and the question was that increasing the amount to $1 billion over 5 years, what kind of change will that have? And reviewing the plan and the items issues listed here, which are all noble things, initiatives to support shoreline resilience, reduce the amount of contaminants and pollution, addressing water quality. But the main takeaway from reviewing the freshwater action plan was that for every dollar invested, there was a $3 return on investment economically. So in the what they have allocated in the past wasn't completely utilized because they didn't have the staff, so with the commitments that were made, they used a portion of it, but it wasn't that not enough was invested in it, just that the hope is that more invested will have an increased amount of return on investment economically. So that's the main takeaway for me, and that's why I would support this.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion? All the questions, all those in favor?
Okay. 19.6, Belvedere Heights Board of Management update for owner municipalities dated January the 3rd, 2023. We have resolution 23-32, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. We have resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the update for owner municipalities from the Belvedere Heights Board of Management, dated January the 3rd, 2023, for information purposes. And further, be it resolved that the board is requested to arrange for the AGM on January 23rd, 2023, to be open to the public for discussion purposes. Discussion? That last was added because my understanding was when the email was received that it's just going to be for the member of municipalities, certain people who will be accessing through Zoom. They're not doing it in an in-person meeting. And my concern, just as it was on the Recreation Cultural Center Board, is that the public should be able to attend an AGM. I've attended them in the past. And why shouldn't they also be able to access through the Zoom link if that's how they're going to do it? I'm not sure, if council supports this, what kind of a response we'll get. But the same thing is happening coming up in the future with the, not just the Belvedere Heights, but the Lakeland holdings. I mean, that's for the end of the month. And again, it's directed to certain people, and they're giving an update. I think the public, since we're getting letters from the public, and they're being kept in the dark about all this, what's going on with the Campus of Care and Lakeland's involved and Belvedere, I think it'd be good, especially if they're going to talk about those things. The public hear what the administration and board members have to say about the future plans. Because what's happening is, even the latest that we received, that I think Ina is going to be putting it on the next agenda, the public, one member of the public anyway, contradicting much of what we just received tonight regarding the Life Lease project. And I think, again, they should be part of the discussion and just not have it go ahead. So that's why that rider is on there, that to be open to the public, whether it gets any has any effect, and whether it is open to the public, I'm not holding my breath, but I think that's all we can do is try. And councillors, do
that. I know in the past when I was on the Belvedere board that the AGM meetings were all open to the public. That was prior to Zoom. And that was the purpose of it, and they had advertised it in the newspapers. I don't know if there's been anything in the newspapers for the public to because not many people read the paper now anyways. It's pretty, well, just good for the fire. But they were always open to the public. And the residents that were there were welcome to come. The people living in the Life Lease came to the meetings. So it was always open to the public. So this should be, too, for reasons that you're saying. They're doing everything undercover, hiding under COVID, and public should know what's going on over there, especially when you have people responding that they have questions and worries about what is going on, because they're being left in the dark. They don't know what's happening over there. It's all a big secret. And when things are a secret, then you start to wonder what's going on. So hopefully they respond, because it's on the 23rd, isn't it?
Yes, 23rd, Monday. So, any further discussion? Councilor Beckman?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the one being held on January 30th, I think it even said in that email, please register to be able to, but it gives the Zoom link and everything, but somehow they want to monitor who is going to be attending the meeting through Zoom. I think that that both these meetings should be totally open to the public. They're the ones who are carrying the levy and the costs of these services. So why wouldn't you want the public being fully aware of what's going on? So I wonder if I like the way it's written, but and further, the Township of McKellar advertised the Zoom link to the McKellar residents to be able to attend.
My next step, if they agree to all this, okay, certainly would be advertised. Yeah, can't do that without their, because they're putting it on as their meeting. So they're organizing it. I don't think we can put the Zoom link out there at this point. My concern is too that just as the the Recreation and Cultural Center, the way it was done through YouTube. And I've asked about it, and they said they would investigate, but people could watch, certainly. They couldn't participate in the sense of asking questions. They could watch, and they could see it later. It would all be recorded. But they couldn't be part of any discussion. They couldn't have any questions like we're having here tonight. And my worry is that this would be set up the same way, even if they do go that route and let the public watch. That's about all you can do. And the answer I got when I questioned the Recreation and Cultural Center meeting was that, people can still get involved. They can make deputations to the board. And that's not the same as them watching in action as it's happening and asking questions that they might have. We have a prime example of that in Whitestone, where people, and pretty raucous meetings, but they were involved and they could participate. And as soon as we get our Zoom straightened out, we shouldn't be complaining about other people's Zooms until we get this one fixed up, but we're trying. I'm just thinking that they can revise the way they approach it. Now, they've done this, as you said, for the last couple of years, I think. This is the approach they've used. And some of them, unfortunately, are still, I don't know whether it's hiding because of COVID or whatever, but even if it does open it up to more of the public through Zoom, then it should make sure the public can participate. That's my big concern. And there's nothing in this indicating that they want the public even part of it. Because, as Councilor Kekkonen said, they're not putting that Zoom link out to anybody just yet. So hopefully that'll be rectified, depending on how council votes on this. Any other comments?
I certainly support the things that Debbie and Mike have brought forward. And, yeah, I share the same concerns. I mean, this should be front and center and should be, I don't know, like paid advertising, but should be prominent and available to the public in all jurisdictions so that they're aware of what's going on. And there's certainly some very strong feeling on this. I've read about it several times on parasound.com and, you know, with some comments from locals that are obviously incensed about it. And, you know, I share their sense of aggrievement. Quite frankly, this seems just completely unacceptable. All right, and at the very least, face the music. Come and let people come and ask questions and answer them. All right, I mean, and if you believe you're in the right, why would you be afraid of doing that? All right, at the very least, they haven't explained it, and I think there's a critical need to do this. This also kind of goes back and touches on what Scott brought up when he was talking just about aging in place too, which is, you know, certainly a very connected issue for this type of situation too. So,
Okay, any further discussion? Call.
So that resolution, is that is there a copy going to Belvedere? Like, is Belvedere going to be like the board of management should be notified somehow?
Well, it doesn't say that on there, but my assumption would be that the board would be requested to arrange, so they'd have to be notified in some fashion.
Yeah.
If you want us to put that on as a rider, as an amendment, that be forwarded to, then that's fine. Or just understanding that it will be forwarded.
But I can imagine they won't have a meeting before the... They won't receive that our request.
I don't know when they're going to be whether they meet before the AGM, I don't know.
If we had worded it so that McKellar Council, Township of McKellar intends to advertise the Zoom link, we'd probably hear back from them very soon.
Yeah, that would be good.
I don't think
they'll worry anything seriously. Give them the resolution.
They won't wait until the next morning for the next meeting to respond.
Pretty much guaranteed to get a response, I would think. So
I can forward it regardless of changes to the resolution, but if you're wanting to add that, then we can.
It's just that we want to make sure that the Zoom link is available to the public. They're aware of the meeting. Not after the meeting's taking place, but they have an opportunity to participate in the meeting.
Okay.
The only problem with that, since they're running the meeting, as I said, it's their meeting, and they control the Zoom link. They control who sits on there and who doesn't. They can cut you off.
Right.
YouTube, they can do any number of things that control.
But still, if the public can hear them and see what they're saying, they can always address that individual or the board or what they're saying later.
What does their terms of reference for Belvedere say if we had their bylaws or terms of reference regarding meetings, annual meetings? Is there, if we had the wording of what their terms of reference or constitution indicated, then it might indicate in there that the annual general meetings are open to the public.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now, but before any of the Belvedere board meetings, anyone could attend. You could come and attend a meeting. And like I said, the AGMs you could attend. So I don't know if they've changed. They've changed it.
Yeah.
Do they have a constitution or a similar document? Yes. Okay.
But there were many changes, probably,
because
of the last couple of years. So they should be up to date, but I'm not sure. So the mover and seconder have amended by adding via Zoom link after public in the last line, and further the Zoom link be advertised publicly. So we'll call the question first of all on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed? Then the entire resolution, I'll read out again. It's 23-32. As amended, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby received the update for owner municipalities from the Belvedere Heights Board of Management, dated January 3rd, 2023, for information purposes. And further, be it resolved that the Board be requested to arrange for the AGM of January 23rd, 2023, to be open to the public via Zoom link for discussion purposes. And further, the Zoom link be advertised publicly. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And 19.7, District Curry Sound Social Service Administration Board resolution to nominate members to board for Area 3. We have resolution 23-33, moved by Councilor Teckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter dated December 29, 2022, from Jennifer Harris, Administrative Officer of the Curry Sound District Social Services Administration Board. Discussion? wouldn't be too concerned about those deadlines that they're presenting. Going back 100 years when it moved from Welfare Board to Social Services Board, I was part of the Welfare, the Transition, the Working Committee, and the Social Services Board. And the governance model had helped design back in the area when they actually did the transition. That governance model, I'm just checking, is still in effect. They're using the same one 25 years later, which is good, because it involves the whole district, Barry Sound. And part of the problem comes, of course, you can't have too many people on, even 15, they question, but they set that as the upper limit. And we're in a situation where you have three, in our case, four municipalities with two members. And it's just a matter of agreeing and doing, hopefully on a rotational basis, who represents which townships, and then report to the other townships as well. They won't be at the table, but at least they'll be able to report. And what has happened with Parry Sound, as an example, Parry Sound and Archipelago, they have three representatives because of assessment values, and they share just each year. 1 year, Archipelago has one, Parry Sound has two, and then the next year, the next term, I should say, Parry Sound has one, and Archipelago has two. And it's just unfortunate that the other ones in our group can't get along and do that same sort of thing. In the past, now we've, I know the previous council sent a number of letters out, and the past three terms now they do go. Well, they've had a representative past two terms, and they want the same person for the third term. And that's over a decade, of course. And Whitestone's in the same boat as McKellar. We haven't had a representative now for a number of years. And I noticed what's happening. I haven't seen Carlings rep unless that came in recently. We were supposed to decide, you know, with Whitestone and McKellar and McDougall, and Carling seems to be out of the loop right now, but the past experience would show that Carling will have their own rep too, so we've got four to choose from. We have to choose two. And then it's usually back and forth and, you know, making concessions and who can represent. And Whitestone, as I said, just threw in a name recently, someone who served on the board in the past, actually worked there. She wasn't part of the board of management. And so now we're into, and without actually sitting down and working it out, and this is why they put the dates in there, we need somebody to represent your area by the 12th, I think, is the one date they gave, and then certainly by the end of the month, because they have a training session in place. The board still moves on, mind you, even without our representative from Area 3. It'd be nice if we had the representative, but I'm not sure if we should cave at this point and just say, fine, will support the representatives from the other townships and not have our representative. Because like I say, it's been a long time now since the early 2000s that we've had a rep there. And I admit that most of the work is done by the staff. They do the day-to-day work, etc. And I'm not saying board members rubber stamp, but it is quite a complicated agency. And you certainly have to have an interest in it and really get involved, and it takes up a fair bit of time. Now, Councillor Haskett is our representative, and I'm sure he's still willing to go into the ring, but we'll just see. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything from the other time. I did get a call early on, though that was even before elections, I think, with McDougall, you know, this is what we're going to do, sort of thing. Things turn out. And at that point, you don't respond to those because you can only wait until you're actually in place and then negotiate. But unfortunately, we're in that situation now. We don't have a representative for our area, Area 3. And I don't know where, you know, things are going to plan. But there might be meetings in the future with the other townships. And I'd prefer, rather than just the mayor sitting together, that it be all of the councillors, too, and who can best represent us going forward. And it's just a matter of getting everybody together and coming away with a common goal and have those two people.
Whereas Joel Constable from McDougall has been on the board in the past, I don't know whether 4 or 8 years. I'm not sure.
8 years, yeah.
Yeah, and then you, like you say, Jansbury definitely has experience and knowledge going in there. That I'd be in favor of pulling my name off and going with those two individuals if council wants to consider that.
Yeah, put it out to council. Councilor Tyson?
Or we wait till there's some response, reply from Carlin?
I think that'd be good, because they might, by some chance, choose Councilor Hassan.
Because we did send...
No, he doesn't want to sit on it, so I don't know.
I think
this is recorded, and so now they heard it this night. Yeah, well, they had a rep the last term, but he's not
Steve
on
Kirk
council anymore, so that's probably why they're dragging their feet on it.
He was on for quite a few years as well.
Yeah.
It was McDougal and Carling for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we could wait for a response from Carling, see what they're going to do, if anything at all.
I think so, because I think we did send a letter reminding them that we haven't had a representative representing our area since 1999, I think it was.
It could be. It's a long time ago. Any further discussion? This is just receiving it, not doing anything. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. .8 Whitestone McCullough Lions Club 2022 yearly report. Resolution 23-34, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough has hereby received the Whitestone McCullough Lions Club 2022 yearly report for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion and notice of motion. I know you're sitting there and saying, "What did we just go through?" Motion. More motions. At 20.1, resolution to prepare part of the original road allowance between Plan 275 Block A and Concession 6, Lot 29, Township of Keller, District Perry Sound, on its Hardy Crescent, surplus land. We have resolution 23-35, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas in accordance with bylaw number 2011-24, being a bylaw to establish procedures governing the sale of real property owned by the municipality, council may deem the original part road allowance between Plan 275 Block A and Concession 6 Lot 29, District of Perry Sound, known as Hardy Crescent, surplus to the needs of the municipality. And whereas for clarification purposes, the original part road allowance between Plan 275 Block B and Concession 6 Lot 29, District of Perry Sound, is not deemed surplus lands. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council direct the Clerk Administrator to notify the prospective purchaser, 2792311 Ontario Inc., that they must retain the Township's solicitor, being Russell Christie LLP, to complete the procedures as outlined in bylaw number 2011-24. And further, be it resolved that 2792311 Ontario Inc. bear the entire cost of the original road allowance closure and sale, legal fees being payable to Russell Christie LLP. In the circumstance, the original road allowance is not sold to 2792311 Ontario Inc., the Township will reimburse the legal fees billed by Russell Christie LLP to 2792311 Ontario Inc., and those costs incurred will be added to full market value of the subject lands for the buyer to incur. Any other costs incurred will not be reimbursed by the Township. Discussion? Pretty clear? Councilor Zuma.
Okay, so in there, was there some, is he good? The cost to have the appraised, nothing?
No amount. Right, no.
Should it be there?
I'm not sure what the cost would be. If we'd be able to put in.
No, I'm saying a cost of an appraisal so that we know what the cost of it would be.
Well, I'd say the value of the property, not the cost to the applicant. It's just the value
of
the
value,
property.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I think that's part of the,
is it in there?
The process that
okay.
has to be done, yeah.
All right.
I think when the Ontario Inc. was here, the representative, they understood the process, and I think probably been in contact with them since.
Okay.
And that an appraised value of the property would have to be prepared, yes.
Okay,
so
that's all.
We want the value. Any further discussion? Call question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. .2, to appoint Suzanne Poff to the McKellar Township Public Library Board, Resolution 23-36, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Suzanne Poff to the McKellar Township Public Library Board. Discussion? Do you want Ms. Poff to speak to that, or are you okay? She's here.
Go ahead.
No. All the questions, all those in favor? And all those carry. And we have 20.3, rename Island View Lane, formerly Fire Route 102, to Madigan Lane, Resolution 23-37. Moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby rename Island View Lane, formerly known as Fire Route 102, to Madigan Lane. Discussion? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And 20.4, review of the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Joint Municipal Services Board Agreement. Resolution 23-38, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin, whereas in Resolution number 22-536, the Clerk Administrator was authorized by Council to immediately consult with the Township Solicitor to determine the extent of financial commitments and responsibilities outlined in the Westbury Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Joint Municipal Service Board Agreement. And whereas the Township Solicitor responded to the Township declaring a conflict of interest with the file and offered suggestions of firms that may take on the file, and whereas Council desires a legal interpretation of said document, including any financial commitments for budgetary purposes and other responsibilities moving forward, now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby authorize a Clerk Administrator and or Council Designate to contact Aaron and Burles LLP and Loopstra Nixon LLP as suggested by the Township Solicitor, or any other solicitor experienced in the municipal field to determine the extent of said obligations and to provide a quotation and timeline for the review prior to the review being undertaken. Discussion? It's taking a while, but I think it's worthwhile to investigate. It's unfortunate that the solicitor had a conflict and we didn't find that out until later. And my only concern was that recommended solicitors from that one that had the conflict may or may not have also have a conflict. So that's why it's opened up that any other solicitor experienced in the municipal field so that we have some options. We won't be stuck again in a situation. And I really think that agreement has to be looked at fairly quickly and to see. I've put out a number of questions. I'll be sending that over. If you have any particular questions as well with the agreement, then before we send that off to these solicitors, then certainly forward those so we can get together on it. And there are particular clauses that that stand out and just want to get the interpretation, I guess, what our commitments are moving forward. One example is the fund that has to be set aside. There are no figures in there, of course, for any repairs down the road in the future, and that concerns me because it is, again, as you'd said before, in certain issues that's open-ended, and the trouble is with the weighted voting that's been established, we have 1/12 of a vote to determine whether we want to participate or not, and it just takes a majority of the weighted vote. Now, that, as I say, that's just one clause. There are a number of clauses in there that I questioned, and we'll just see what the solicitor has to say. It's unfortunate that the township solicitor, as it turns out, it wouldn't have mattered, I guess, but that they didn't look at it initially, or at least this step wasn't taken prior to any of this happening. We're doing it after the fact. It's already been signed. But one of the questions that I'll be forwarding to, I have to make sure that the people who have signed have authority to bind the corporation. I'm not even sure if that's the case. So those are things that are we're beginning to question. But any other discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Five, Recreation Historical Necessity Centennial Committee Surplus Funds to Reserves, Resolution 23-39, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Treasurer to transfer surplus funds as of December 31st, 2022, remaining in the following committee's operating budgets to the respective reserve account. 2022 Recreation Committee Operating Budget to the Recreation Committee Reserve Account. And 2022 Historical Committee Operating Budget to the St. Stephen's / Hemlock Church Capital Reserve Account. And 2022 McKellar 150th Sesquicentennial Committee Operating Budget to the McKellar 150th Sesquicentennial Committee Reserve Account. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And the Fire Department 2022 Budget Surplus Funds to Reserves, Resolution 23-40, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Treasurer to transfer remaining funds as of December 31st, 2022, in the various 2022 Fire Department budget line items to the Fire Department Reserve Account. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Now, 20.7 application for MTO entrance permit at 701 Highway 124, municipal complex, additional entrance to be located south of 697 Highway 124. Resolution 23-41, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby direct the Director of Operations to begin the process of obtaining an entrance permit from the Ministry of Transportation for a proposed additional entrance at the municipal complex located at 701 Highway 124, and further, this additional entrance will be located directly south of 697 Highway 124 to provide an entrance for future use of the parcel of land located behind the ice rink pavilion. Discussion? Councillor Haskin?
Yeah, I went on the Westbury Sound Geographical Network and looked at the piece of property just to get more of a feel to the extent of it, and it shows it actually on there blended with this parcel, the whole parcel as one. That may be not the case. Is that the case?
It should be.
It wasn't joined onto this. It's still separate. Okay, that's good, because they may not allow two entrances on the one piece of property, so that's good that it is separate. And on there, it showed approximately 20 meters of frontage on the highway, so I would think that's adequate if they'll give us the permit. So, and then hopefully we'll get a positive response, and then I'd like to see our Director of Operations have a meeting with Council and start going over maybe even on a on-site visit just to get a feel of the property and come up with what ideas. I think Greg has some ideas as to what his plans are, so I think it's just a good idea to first all meet over there on site and go over it as soon as knowing whether we're going to get the access off the highway or not is a major part of it, so we may have to wait until that time.
And when the snow's gone.
Sounds good. What snow?
What snow, yeah. Any other discussion? Okay. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I have 20.8 firefighter appointment, Deanna McEwen. In Resolution 23-42, moved by Councillor Robbins, second by Councillor Haskin, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Deanna McEwen as a probationary volunteer firefighter with the Township of McKellar Volunteer Fire Department. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Firefighter promotion to Captain, Chris Summers, at Resolution 23-43, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McCullers hereby promote volunteer firefighter Chris Summers to captain with the Township of McCullers Volunteer Fire Department effective immediately. Discussion?
Can I just ask, shouldn't the resolution specify that this was recommended by the fire chief or supported by the fire chief? I mean, it's maybe semantics, but by the same token, otherwise it looks like we're arbitrarily doing this on our own.
Good point.
Right? I mean, if we just said as recommended by, you know, the current fire chief, I mean, just as an explanatory note, because again, if you read this in isolation, it would look like we're just doing these things. So, and what do we know about the firefighters?
Yeah, good point.
Did we do that one? Yeah, that's us. So we got to audition. So.
The amendment, first of all, to vote on, is just added to the end, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Take a call a question on that one. Everybody in favor of that? None opposed? Okay, and the entire resolution, as amended, resolved the Council of Corporation Township of McCullers is hereby promoted volunteer firefighter Chris Summers to captain with the Township of McCullers Volunteer Fire Department, effective immediately, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Direction to Treasurer to prepare fees and charges bylaw for proposed upgrades to Deerfield Road, Bay Drive, and Fire Ridge 152, 152A, and 152B. And resolution 23-44, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin, be a result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Hereby direct the Treasurer, in cooperation with the Director of Operations and the Clerk Administrator, to prepare a fees and charges bylaw for the proposed upgrades to Deerfield Road, Bay Drive, Fire Route 152, Fire Route 152A, and Fire Route 152B, and further that the bylaw be reviewed by the Township Solicitor to provide comment. Discussion? Councilor Ryan.
A question, just, is Fire Route 152 still known as Fire Route 152, or was there a name?
There was a name, but it's still known as 152.
Okay, look at that.
The only one that's changed is 152B. It's now Bruce Trail.
Should we change that here? What is the name then for 152B?
It's Bruce Trail.
Okay. I still didn't hear you, but that's okay.
Formerly 152B.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that the way it was, Director of Operations spoke before, then he's leaving the old signs up until the other ones, so that's no problem there.
Everywhere I've been, I've seen both signs.
So, so I think we're still okay with that. Again, for clarification on this, this is an awful lot of preparatory work to get actually get some figures, so it's not something that's going to be done immediately. And, you know, moving forward, as I said, it's a question of arriving at a figure before we even make any attempt at looking if we have to amend the roads policy or whatever we have to look at. This is just the first step to get some figures and prior to any agreement, et cetera. But it is a step in the process that they work on. Yes, you want the public to speak?
No, but yes, but I mean, not yet. That's all I'm saying. So, I mean, technically, when I look at the bylaw that was used for Bailey's, I mean, it's two pages, and it's specific to that, but the costs, truthfully, are in Schedule A to the bylaw. I know it's part of the same bylaw, but I'm unclear. Given that we don't know the costs at this point, I don't see how we could prepare Schedule A prior to knowing that. And logically, without being prejudicial about this, then the resolution that we used for sure for Bailey's and possibly for Craigmore would be the same format other than the specifics change. Is that your expectation?
I would say yes.
Yeah, okay.
For the specifics.
Okay, but obviously the critical piece and the whole point of doing this is to make sure that we've got the cost specified before we get started.
Yes. And
or at least estimated.
The other critical piece is to have the solicitor look at it, which didn't happen before.
Sure.
Yes, okay. Mr. Parkin.
So as speaking before, offering to work together, et cetera, get quotes from the private sector, et cetera. We can work together on all of this to make sure that we've crossed T's, dotted I's, and so on. There's some creative solutions for reducing costs for the whole process. It would start with documenting what this process is going to be and who's got which responsibility. And so I offer myself, and I know there's others that I've worked with that would offer some time on clarifying all of that.
Okay, the offer is appreciated. It's just a question, I guess, of who do you report to? And we've got it set up that the treasurer begin working on this. So.
Yeah, agreed. And we have to settle that through the whole process.
Yeah.
Some of it sooner rather than later, but agreed.
And I don't know whether you can go out and get contract prices without knowing the extent of the work that has to be done. So.
And that was part of our question. Is the design work complete? In other words, is the uplift of the road going to be as is? The standard will dictate some stuff, but there may have be other opinions of improvement of the road in its configuration. The road does not follow the plan. Layout of the road. So that's just one example.
Well, one thing, as I said, this is the first step because the Director of Operations did talk in the last meeting about a survey being done, especially on Fire 152 and all the way through there. We've heard from Deerfield that it's pretty well online, and a survey was done there years back. So I think that would be part of the process, as you say. And as far as the, what's expected of the road, again, we'll rely heavily upon our Director of Operations, what he thinks. But, I mean, if you start digging out, certainly, to make sure that your surface is going to be maintained and you're starting doing ditching and any number of things, that he'll know what has to be required. A contractor can help you with that as well, but it's all a question that, again, boils down to what standard are we expecting this.
So to your earlier point of who we would work under, I make the offer that we work under Greg's.
Yeah, my problem is, and I think somebody mentioned that earlier too, that's really not his position. We don't want a situation where the public's always after him, that he reports to council. And so I think probably what you're doing is best if you come back to council.
Fair enough.
With what you work with in your group.
So there's also, we don't know how long this process is going to take. We're okay with that. If we get some general timelines, that'd be great. But also, what maintenance can be done during that process, who does have maintenance and so on, we would need to have that understanding as well.
Yep, and that's interesting to have the maintenance right now. It's an unassumed road, and it's just a question, I guess, that's not necessarily retroactive. It can become part of the agreement that's done later if you do the maintenance now.
No, I understand that. The latest zoning bylaw, for example, it made a description around that our roads are Class 6 roads.
Right.
It makes no reference to what the maintenance of a Class 6 road is. It makes reference to provincial standards for maintenance, which does not include Class 6.
Yeah, well, Class 6 is in there as far as what's expected of, for the road to be assumed. It's in the policy.
Within the policy,
right.
But we're talking about road maintenance now, not road development. Road means ongoing, when you fill a pothole, those kind of things. Right?
Well, if you read again the road policy, it talks about seasonal roads, it talks about unassumed roads, and for the unassumed, it says there's no maintenance.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But from a responsibility of the town, but it's making a standard that applies to the roads within the town.
Well, all I'm saying is that right now, and this is what people have to understand, through the policy, and it's always been that way, and the policy is nothing new, the unassumed roads were never maintained through the summer, and it was only lately, in the last decade or so, where they had winter maintenance.
Yeah, I'm not talking about responsibility. I'm talking about standards.
I'm talking maintenance.
Yeah. I'm not talking about responsibility, but I'm talking about defined maintenance standards.
Yeah.
Not who does it.
Well, part of it will have to be who does it, because if the standard is there, I mean...
That's my...
Yeah, but if your group's been putting money into it to keep it up to a certain level.
Right.
And now if you're expecting the township to contribute...
There's no expectation. You just have to get everything
okay
worked out.
Councillor Zulak first.
So you're talking about right now who's to maintain the road?
Well, again, through this whole process, what should we and should we not do so that we all have an understanding of where this is going?
Well, my thoughts are that you continue to maintain the road. The township is, it's unassumed.
I think that they
have to continue to maintain the road the way they have in the past.
Yeah, okay. But to what?
Because to whatever standard you want in there.
But that
because there's no standard been set.
The standard's been set by the policy. It applies to all roads in the calendar. Unassumed enough, right?
But
who's done the work for
that?
You have to go beyond just the standards that are there, and who is responsible, I think, is a key.
That's what we need to get to.
Yeah, but it's in the policy. So.
Well, we can work on it.
Okay.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
Me?
Sure.
I think Nick may remember this better in our discussions with Nick and Greg and I. There are no municipal maintenance standards. Those are provincial. Those are the only standards there are.
But again,
so I don't know if that answers.
But again, class six is referenced to, and so therefore there must be a maintenance standard for class six.
No, there isn't.
The previous version developed one for the purpose of defining what the class six.
I think you're saying it's not an O-Reg 239. If that's the number,
yeah.
I don't really, that's the number I remember. But and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but. Are you talking about during the upgrade process?
Yeah.
Who's going to do stuff? So literally, Greg's guys are there digging up the road or digging, putting
or
in culverts.
Or even before, for example,
okay.
A turnaround, like you know, for a tree falls.
Sure.
Who's going to deal with that, right?
Sure. Well, and I think you're suggesting, because I know we've had these conversations in the past, that you want something in an agreement or a document that sets those things out. When do they start? When do they finish? And how does it work? Right?
If it's general nature from a timeline perspective, great. But who's making what decision?
Okay.
Well, I think all we're doing with this resolution is trying to get some figures together.
Sure.
And everything, I think, as Councillor Zulak said, remains as is.
But I would hope that the resolution also includes the process definition so it's clear we understand.
Well, certainly going forward, we'll have to work on that, I guess. Yeah. Councillor Zulak.
No, it's okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Peck.
So when these numbers are being compiled, is there an engineering firm that's going to be involved in compiling those numbers?
Council will have to decide.
Okay.
As I say, he's working on this, and any input that the public can provide to council to help go into the policy and where we're going with it, that would be great. We have to look at this in the final result, and even then, costs aren't going to be guaranteed, and we can't do that because things change. But I think that's a starting point, and the representative here at the last meeting, I agree with that. They need to know costs up front, and I think that's where we're aiming right now, trying to get that result. But as I say, in the interim, I would say everything, you know, status quo, because there has been no agreement, whatever. And these unassumed roads, if you check the road policy, it describes right in there there'll be no maintenance on the unassumed roads. So we're just following that for the present. And I know it's a rough road going in there. Yes.
So just back to Scott, you said in the previous version there was a standard.
Correct.
So you're talking about one of how many versions that was?
Yeah, version
done?
4 that was originally
okay,
approved.
So but the version now is the one that we're going by.
Understood.
So that was already.
But there's no maintenance standard for Class Road 6.
And there probably was a reason why that was taken in.
It was taken in because it was a reference to the provincial standards, which I understand, but now there's a gap. There's no maintenance standard for Class 6 roads.
And for the record, the engineers did give us a report about the policy that we have in place and had made several changes, I think, from memory, about 11 or 12 changes to the page that we were showing. Is it it doesn't really matter, but the standard that we had in the document, the table that had 6 on the left and 5 on the right, they have a bunch of comments when I was looking through their stuff. Some of them are just editorial, but some of them are a material change of the requirement, too. So, but I think those are the new road construction standards. So, yeah, so it's a little different again because we're talking about maintenance here, but yeah. So,
but even the minimum maintenance standards, that was voluntary. That wasn't a mandatory maintenance standards for municipalities.
So no, you can define your own. That's where from a legal point of view, if you ever refer and say, okay, we built the road to this standard, we maintained it to this maintenance standard, we're good. And there's law precedent out there where municipalities have successfully been sued because they didn't follow their own standard, right? And so with having those standards and the records proving you maintained it to that standard, you're good.
Well, I'm going to sue for it.
Doesn't matter. Well, it matters the definition. So in other words, in this case, it was Vancouver, and I'm quoting, and they didn't plow for the sidewalk access to the street. Somebody fell over, but their standard says that they would do that within X period of time. They didn't follow the standard.
Yeah. So it's really important that we look at our standards. Yes. Yeah. So that we can meet them.
Exactly.
Our legal counsel also strongly recommended that we do not inadvertently establish a higher standard because then we'd be obliged to apply it. And then there's a long caution in there about what we need to do with that. So,
well, we've been assured over the years that, and we put that, I think that's right in the policy, that these are the minimum standards, that the township goes above and beyond and usually exceeds these standards. But these are the minimum.
But you don't want to document it as the standard. In other words,
well, you have to put it down as the minimum. Yes, you have to meet that. I would say, because otherwise,
okay. The lawyer's letter adequately, properly describes this. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. But there's a word of caution in there about not establishing a standard higher than necessary,
or you're obliged
to meet it.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's right. Councilor Zubak.
But it's only once it's assumed by the township that's standard, is it not?
Well, right now, I say the unassumed has no maintenance on it. So.
Right. So when it's assumed by the township,
yes,
then the township has to do the maintenance, whatever.
Yes. That's the whole idea of the assumption. Yeah. Okay, any further questions on this? I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Direction to staff, prepare a report to council investigating alternative internet service providers for the municipal building complex. Resolution 23-45. Moved by Councillor Hassan, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar is hereby directed to Council of Information Technology, IT Coordinator. Prepare a report to council outlining all possible internet service providers that can effectively provide internet service to the municipal building complex located at 701 Highway 124. Further, that this report detail which providers will be able to fully service the needs of the complex with the current infrastructure in place, and that this report be completed and presented to council as soon as possible. Discussion. Now, since this, of course, since we put this out here, I think Carly's forwarded, I think you did, didn't you? A previous resolution, the previous council member, if you remember, I think it was in June, was it? 2022. Where he'd already done some of this and still came back with a list there with costs, and that's really what we're looking for. And having talked to him in the interim, I don't know, you know, we'll have to decide where we're going because he's suggesting that, and this is anecdotal, I don't have this in writing, that even if you go to other providers, and I've talked to Mary about this as well in her office, there's no guarantee. They're not going to guarantee at any point. But I guess the question is, what are other people using? And are they successful? And what are our needs? And what I've been trying to do, and I don't think it's been done yet, is actually have a meeting with our service provider, VNF, whoever represents that group, and see where the problems are and why they can't offer that. We're giving all kinds of reasons why it's not working, from weather to buffering to too many people online and things that might make sense, might not make sense. So I guess the question is, Councillor Ryland sent something out, and Councillor Haskin, I think, agreed that we may have to do some investigating ourselves, either that or question our IT expertise and what he's suggesting, and just find out ourselves, or maybe from the public too, and what can and cannot work. You know, it's a business. It's larger than an individual a home situation we're into, and that'll have to be considered. Because I know a lot of people who have talked to me talk about their home setup and what they have, but that may or may not be comparing apples to apples. Council, any comments on what we've instructed our ITs to do? Council Cutting.
Yeah, so we did receive a report, and it's dated May 12th, 2022.
Okay.
So this has been an ongoing issue. I'm glad there is a resolution on the table. You know, it shows that we, once again, another resolution, that this is a serious an immediate issue that needs to be resolved. But I think in fairness to our current internet provider, and we're paying close to $200 a month for that service, that they come and justify that their service that they're providing is what we're paying for, so that they come and substantiate any claims of our IT technologist that that is the problem. In all fairness, that that they come and verify that it is their service that they're providing that's lacking. And they can determine what's required to resolve any issues, if there's any issues, so they can pinpoint. And as well, we do have still sitting on the table here from September 13th, 2022, our Cogeco agreement, and in that point number five says that as a further consideration, I believe prior to the township signing with VNet to provide the internet service to the municipality, that Cogeco was our service provider. And point five in the Cogeco agreement indicates that as further consideration, Cogeco covenants that during the tenure of this agreement, the community center located at 701 Highway 124 shall be provided with cable and or data services at no expense to the municipality. So I believe they were providing high-speed internet at one point in time, in aligning with the agreement. And I think as well we need to have a follow-up to this, which has been sitting on the table since September 13th, 2022, to determine what potential service they can provide.
May I speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I contacted Cogeco regarding the agreement after that meeting, and with the staff changeover at their head office, they said they would not be in contact with me for another 90 days. They had to have their officials look over the agreement, and they did state that that line would be removed in the new agreement.
Okay.
With due respect, I don't see how they can remove it unilaterally without our consent.
Right.
So, that's nice for them to say that, but frankly...
Yeah.
And what does it tell you about service that they provide that they can't even answer you for 90 days? That tells you everything you need to know. Is that a company you'd want to deal with? Not me.
I would say that we are reconsidering the agreement.
Mm.
This was something that they had promised, in the agreement, and were providing at a certain point in time.
Yeah, I'm not sure previously who did provide it. I know there was a quid pro quo that they could put the building over by the fire hall and put up their antennas, and that they would provide internet service to the municipality. What the quality was, what the level was, that was years and years ago.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if they can even provide now what we're expecting here. And I'm not sure if that's what the agreement's all about. I think it's just, it may just be that you have some service, but you can't do what you're expecting.
Dial up.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, and they'll get back to us on that in 90 days, yeah.
But
I know my answers to both those questions, so.
But aren't they in process currently of providing high-speed fiber to McKellar Township?
So they say.
So I don't think that, we'd agree that quickly to say that we'll agree with deleting line or item number five in the agreement.
Yeah. Why would we? It's contrary to our interest. So,
yeah. Member of the public, if you wish to hear, we have to keep it short.
Very short.
I just wanted to say, put equipment aside and knowledge aside and all of that aside, my work on a daily basis is relying on the internet. Even me, and I'm sure that the township can hopefully afford it, but I, at the beginning, when I came here and I started working, and I wasn't sure about the how reliable is the connection, I had both Bell and Explorer at the same time. I paid twice, you know, $100 to these guys and another $100 to these guys, just to make sure that I have, if there is any issue with the internet, I can switch to the other network and still have my meetings. And I'm doing video meetings all day long, so I'm taking the same bandwidth. So I'm just suggesting to the township, maybe that's a solution. Spend another $100 a month just as a backup. Even if the entire office, all the computers, everything is on one network, this one computer that is responsible for Zoom for meetings, which is so important for the township, just have it on a separate network. And if you need to alternate for whatever reason, technical issue, then you have the backup.
And that would be the same provider, because if one provider can't do the office, it's certainly not going to help the individual. It's a different account, but it'd be the same provider.
No, I'm saying different provider.
Right. Okay.
And we can see here every time that, you know, I'm looking at Facebook in the books, whenever Rogers has an issue, it's not, they're not on the same infrastructure as Bell and vice versa.
Right.
You have a few other options here. So just make sure that you are not taking a virtual provider that is riding on Bell, let's say, or riding on Rogers. It's completely separate ones.
Yeah.
I think it's just a small cost to make sure that the entire township has the actual access to those things.
Yeah, it's just a question whether, you know, with what they have for towers and what they have available, because I hear of individuals who can't get the Bell, for instance, right now because it's too full.
Geography.
They can't get on. So.
Yeah.
So I can just suggest on this one, I called Bell myself. They told me that they don't have availability, but I did talk to a Bell guy, a technician that was here. He told me you can get, and I was just annoyed, and I called them 6 times in a row, and I spoke to 6 different people until the 6th one said, yeah, we can get you on that plan, after speaking to their technical department. So not saying that you're going to have the same issue. I'm just saying that sometimes you talk to some representative and doesn't necessarily know.
Right.
Just check. Make sure. And there are providers. It's not just Bell.
Yep.
In this area.
Thank you. Are you okay with this to move it forward? But I think as Councillor Keckin said, we have to get the actual representative out here. And I like the idea of investigating. As I say, with the IT that we have right now, he even said the equipment is fine, everything is okay, it's top notch. But and he even mentioned some companies that, you know, people are bandying out there saying that they're the ones to go to, and he's saying it's not going to make any difference. So if our IT professional is saying that, then what do we as council decide? Because I like the idea of having more than one as a backup. Or any of them reliable.
And that's what we need is, you know, someone that is a professional in this, a second opinion of a professional opinion in this field. Looking at the bid for the $100,000 system in the community center, it included an engineering study. So there are professionals that will come and review everything and determine, you know, what is actually the problem. And interesting point in mentions about bid number 2 was $102,000. If we use a laptop to remotely operate the system, the price can be reduced by $98,000. So what changed by using the laptop? Did we change some configuration in what was being set up? So I think a professional review of how the whole system is set up, and has something changed that's changed, you know, the setup of the system, so we can pinpoint. July 15th, 2021, we had an absolutely perfect system in the community center. There were numerous people online. It was broadcasting out into the parking lot. What happened? What changed since July 15th, 2021? That's what we need to find out and get this resolved and back on track to a system that's working flawlessly like that.
most likely more people move into the area and on the system, probably.
I don't think that it really makes a difference, because when Whitestone had a meeting up there maybe a year ago, they had over 100 people online on Zoom, and it never went down at all.
Right. What system do they have? I wonder, has that ever been checked into?
They were on, I know that they had switched to Bell for a brief period of time, and now I can't confirm, but I've heard that they are piggybacking right now off the mayor's Starlink.
Well, that brings me to what was brought up by Nick by email, and everybody I hear that can't seem to get their internet service they want, their go-to is Starlink. Why are we not considering that?
It's a wait, please.
No, here, I need to explain.
Doesn't sound
there
like
is
it here.
A new product that Starlink offers called Starlink Business that is ideally situated to this situation that we're in. We are definitely a municipality, but definitely a business model with multiple users, same location, all kinds of critical needs. If you buy a Starlink Business, there is no waiting period. We order it today, we would get it within a week. Okay, unlike Starlink Residential, which I have at home, yeah, I had to wait 18 months for it, right? So I have all the paperwork here on it and everything else, and I also shared a story with council earlier about the situation in Uxbridge when they had the windstorm go through there last year, maybe the year before, I don't know which, and it actually became critical for their emergency plan. And that's the point. That's the most compelling evidence there. Now, Starlink Business costs a lot of money. It costs $635 a month, but the throughputs are 2 to 5 times faster than the residential Starlink that we have. I've got a bunch of things here, including independent reviews. I didn't write them. I just read them, and I'm happy to share it. And I talked to Dan Hildebrand about it last week when he was here, and said the same thing to him, because when he made his last presentation to council, he did not have that because he thought it was too expensive for us to pay. Now, for residential service, which we could get, it's $159 a month, which is probably, I don't know how much you're paying together for your two OHAD, but I mean, that's probably in that ballpark anyway. But all I can say is that I've got it. I have neighbors that have it. Morley has neighbors that have it. My sister lives over there and everything else, and there's just no comparison. Now, do I know that our problem with Zoom is caused by the internet connection? I don't. So having a professional look at that's fine, as long as they don't come with baggage that they're going to be tied to company X or company Y. That's my only point. We want an independent assessment, not just, you know, somebody saying that. But in terms of throughput speeds, Starlink is exponentially faster than the best product that Bell offers right now for wireless home internet. They sell for $79, and the best they will promise you is 325 down and 5 up.
They have also 1510?
They do, but that's $20 more a month. Trust me, I had it. I know all those details, and we would go over the bid cap in 5 days, I'll bet you, in this building.
Okay, so because of timing, I'm just wondering if you already talked to our IT specialist about that, and that could be part of this thing too, that you investigate it further.
Sure.
So you leave that material to
I will. Okay, that's why I printed it. So
yeah. That'd be great.
Just last comment about something that you said, and I saw it in one of the groups here on Facebook. There is absolutely no impact on the meeting, on the Zoom connection, with how many people are connected to the meeting. And I'm saying that as a person that is working for one of the competitors of Zoom. This is what I do every day on a platform. If you have 20 people in the meeting and you have 200 people in the meeting, it's not affecting. It's on their connection. It's not on your connection. So just to take it off the table, because it's not an issue.
Appreciate that, because we've heard quite a few stories.
It's just not how the technology works.
Yeah.
You don't carry other people on your bandwidth. It's only your connection, and you just have the meeting. And then if they don't have the right connection or the bandwidth, they're just not going to be able to hear and watch the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Call the question on this. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Is there internet service provider going to be contacted to come in?
Well, I would think through Dan we'll do that now. We won't reach it, but.
You tell Dan that we may pay $20 more a month if it means rectifying the problem.
Well, given that they haven't lived up to their agreement for the last 10 years, I'm not so sure about that.
So we're paying $200 a month now, so.
Which is crazy that I don't know how anybody agreed to that price, but.
And Resolution 23-46, moved by Councillor Keckman, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Todd McKellar, does hereby extend the meeting curfew by 30 minutes to 10:30 p.m. That's 35 today. Anyway. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Hopefully, won't need that, but just cover it. On to Fire Department Reserve Funds for Purchase of Bunker Gear and PPE. Resolution 23-47, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby authorized the Treasurer to finance the cost of bunker gear and associated personal protective equipment, approved by Resolution Number 23-02 at the January 3rd, 2023 Special Meeting of Council, in the amount of $18,000 by transferring funds from Fire Department Reserve Account, and further direct the Treasurer to pay balance owing from 2023 Fire Department budget line item safety equipment / protective clothing. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
My recollection of the invoice that Rob presented was $24,000 and change before tax and $28,000 with tax. So, and $18,000 was my memory of what was available in 2022's budget. And that's how I remember that figure. In other words, that the net was $6,000 before HST anyhow. So I'm just curious, by saying it this way, wouldn't we be limited to paying no more than $18,000? And yet the invoice clearly is $24,000 and change.
He says balance owing from the 2023 Fire Department budget line item. So the money will be there. Anything over $18,000. It'll come out of this year's budget, that's all.
That's not how I read it, but okay, even if you say so, I'll agree with you. So.
Well, that's, I don't know, whether Roshan's still or not, that's the way I read it, but I could be stand corrected.
My understanding about that discussion is that, and Morley, you know, said during the meeting that, you know, the 10,000, remaining 10,000 are coming from 2023 budget or 2022 budgets, and that time I said, you know, we have only 18,000 in surplus, so remaining has to come from 2023 budget.
Right.
As long as we're clear, we're paying the total bill. That's all I really care about. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So remaining has to come from the 2023 budget.
No, I understood that, but just by mentioning this amount, it would imply that we're not going to pay more than 18,000. That's what it says to me.
I don't want to read that again because it says to pay the balance owing from the 2023 Fire Department budget. So that's with the account. Or what was it? He said 28,000 roughly, so.
Okay.
To me, that would
I can live with it. I'm just saying, I don't want to find out that we didn't pay it and we couldn't get some of the gear we needed, that's all.
Well, don't worry, it's your motion, you signed it.
I know. You're sitting there. Ostensibly, I proposed it, yeah, so.
Call the question. All those there? Not opposed, there. Flag policy, Resolution 23-48, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar, under Schedule A to Bylaw Number 2019-43, being a bylaw to adopt a policy for the display of flags in municipal facilities, subsection entitled Half Mast Protocol Number 2, hereby authorize the Fire Chief as a designate to the Clerk Administrator or his designate to lower the two flags Canada and Province displayed at the community center to half mast from sunrise to sunset on Saturday, January 14, 2023, as a demonstration of respect and gratitude and recognition of the passing of the former volunteer firefighter Wendy DeVerge. Discussion?
Yeah, I'm in favor of that, and also just like to add that Wendy also was on the recreation committee for a few years, and she ran the kids minor ball program also for years also, so her involvement with the township was more than just a firefighter.
I think it was probably worded in such a way that the fire chief had asked for this in the past, to have them lowered. Nobody from recreation came forward, so that's the reason I think it's worded this way, probably. But she did it, was involved in other areas, as you say.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And it may be a situation, too, because that's why it's worded fire chief as designate. Or is a designate, because if the fire chief is not here, then he'll have to designate somebody else to do it as well. And I'm not sure what a double designate, whether that's permissible or not, but if council thinks that that's the way to cover ourselves to make sure it is done. And we may have to call in a recreation member, I don't know, to actually lower the flags, but hopefully the firefighters will accomplish that. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to bylaws of 21.1, 2023-05, being bylaw to amend the zoning bylaw for Hardy. We have resolution 23-49. Moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskins. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of Kellers hereby give bylaw number 2023-05, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12, the zoning bylaw as amended with respect to lands legally described as part of Lot 33, Concession 6, Township of McKellar, Hardin, as a required condition of consent B42/2022, Hardy of the Ferry Sound Area Planning Board, first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council this 10th day of January 2023. Discussion? There was one concern expressed on the bylaw, I guess, in the map that's attached that is confusing with the special provision that seems to sit right on the separate lots. And if that could be moved at any point, I'll ask Diana or Carly if that can be done.
I tried to adjust it today. It's hard because that is the map in bylaw 9512. I do see where the confusion lies, but we can add a note on the bottom of the image to say, just for clarification, that it's not a special provision.
Okay, there is a line there, but it is hard to see. Yes, you're right. So, that might suffice. It's better than a white, I think, because that looks a little, I don't know, amateurish. So if we do it that way, that's not good. Any other questions on this one? That's the one we're actually able to get through on December 20th. And, the others, of course, will be for next week on the 17th. Okay. Anything else on that? You've all read the bylaw? All the questions, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Yeah, 2023-06, being bylaw to set tax ratios for 2023, resolution 23-50, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby give bylaw number 2023-06, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2023, first and second reading at open council this 10th day of January 2023, and further read a third time and passed at open council this 10th day of January 2023. Discussion? And Roshan's still here. That's the same. The ratios haven't changed.
No, no.
Okay.
Normally we don't change unless there's a shift in the class. So we most of the municipal keep the ratio same, and especially we have mostly residential. So
yeah,
we don't have industries or commercial. So we pretty much keep the same ratios.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. We have 2023-07, being a bylaw to authorize the borrowing of money to meet current expenditures of the Council of the Township of McKellar. So we have resolution 23-51, moved by Councillor Haslam, second by Councillor Ryman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-07, being a bylaw to authorize the borrowing of money to meet current expenditures of the Council of the Township of McKellar. First and second reading at open council is the 10th day of January 2023. Further read a third time and passed at open council is the 10th day of January 2023. Discussion? And that figure that you have, sorry, the figure you have was 800,000 or up to, is that comparable to other years? I think probably goes up each year a little bit, does it?
No, that's been there for the last many years and we haven't used it and it's just for the emergency purposes.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. Right. No question.
What rate do we pay for that, interest rate?
Prime rate.
Okay. It's pretty good.
Call question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have 21.4, the 2023-08 procedural bylaw, resolution 23-52. Moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haslam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, is hereby to give bylaw number 2023-08, procedural bylaw, first and second reading at open council, the 10th day of January 2023, and further to be read a third time and considered at open council at the next regular meeting of council. Discussion? Councilor Zulak.
Okay, 1.16, electronic meetings. So I'm just curious here, because it says electronic meeting means a meeting where any member is not physically present but participates via electronic means of communication. The member participating electronically can vote in open session. So is that clear enough that they cannot vote in closed? Am I reading that right?
If we consider this a permissive bylaw like we do our the zoning bylaw, then yes, that would imply that that's the only time they could vote. But do you want it spelled out?
No. So just so I know that they cannot vote in closed. Okay, and then 2.9. I'm just wondering, it says should there be something in there, like it said, for council members, should there not be something in there to the effect that not more than so many council members participate electronically? Like, you wouldn't want to have your whole council.
Most of them right now are operating that way.
I know, but that's, you know, if it's done that way, you may never even enter the council chambers. I don't think that's right, especially now when we do have a problem with our Zoom and you have people wanting to come and participate in the meeting. I think there should be something in there that's saying maybe not. I think in one of the previous procedural bylaws it said not more than two could be away at the time.
Yeah, I don't know what might change even with the COVID rules, so I wouldn't want a situation where we get the Zoom working and we have to hold our meetings through Zoom, and yet our bylaw says that only two can participate. So that's probably why it's not in there with any limit.
Yeah, just different things I was curious on. 4.82...
What page is that, Terry?
22 of 35.
Okay.
Voting in to deal with voting enclosed again. So, and shall be entitled to vote through a vote recorded by the clerk. So, that's just the same as what I was asking before in the previous one. So, we would assume that the person can't vote enclosed.
Yeah.
If they're attending electronically.
Yeah, this would be for open meetings, I think.
Okay. That's it.
That can be clarified, though, if you want, because I was looking at 481. it talks about a special meeting or a closed meeting may be conducted electronically. So it could be clarified so there wouldn't be a concern about a voting closed meeting through Zoom. So we'll look at that one. That's another reason why we're looking at two readings tonight and a third later. So it could be, if council agrees, that should be amended.
Can I just ask, first of all, that meeting where I was having the flood in my basement, which was part of that, was a closed session, and I did vote, and I know that was under the old procedural bylaw, but my question is more general, is I'd like to understand why you don't think somebody that, you know, is present on the phone or on a Zoom call, and I know we don't have public Zoom calls on that, tell me why you don't think they can vote in that situation. Because how is it any different than when I'm sitting here today?
Well, because you're here in person. Right?
Yeah.
We don't know. We know who's in the room with you when you're on Zoom.
Okay. I didn't think of that consequence, but I mean, I'm sure we can cover that by another means. I mean, honestly, I've got comments on the same sections that you did, because I found the same thing. But
I'm not saying that anybody's going to abuse that system, but like, to me, closed session, you know, that's privy to the people that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if somebody's in another room. You don't know if you have a bunch of people sitting there listening, okay, this is what's going to go on. Let's listen to what's going on. Like, I'm not saying anybody here is going to do that,
sure.
But we should be covering ourselves.
I mean, we could deal with that by asking the question, can you confirm that there's nobody else in listening distance to your device, whatever it is?
That's the same as doing your voting license online. It's okay. Like, you know, you can read the book while you're doing your voting license. You know what I mean? And they say, nobody in the room with you? No, nobody's there. What's the answer to that one?
All right,
I'm going to
talk about voting.
Sure.
Voting.
Yeah, I didn't catch that at first, then I got it, so...
Yeah. You thought I said voting? No, voting! Voting license.
Who should I vote for?
voting license. No, voting, B, like Bob. I want to make that clear.
Oh, that's good. My mistake, but I was another one. Okay.
No matter where you live, you can vote.
Yeah, then it has to be me, right?
Councillor Kerr. So I'm just wondering definitions 1.10, council package. Looking at another version, it does include, so council package means a copy of the agenda reports and other information that members require and request prior to the meeting. Council package means a copy of the agenda, closed meeting agenda, reports and all other information that members require prior to the meeting. Just to make
sure. Where's the other definition?
We received a working copy in November 23rd, 2018.
Right.
And it has that included, and that version allowed it. It made sure that closed session had an agenda and had a council package, and I think there was
which is in here.
It's
in the procedural bylaw for closed meetings.
Right at the end there. Yes.
Yeah.
But
you're saying it should be in the definition.
Just in the definitions to make sure that council package means a copy of the agenda.
Yeah.
Closed meeting agenda. I think there was something else related to that, so speak. That's the main one right there. Oh, yeah. If I find another place where that is, I'll mention it. But on arriving late or leaving early or arriving late, what is that?
Should be recorded in the minutes.
Yeah.
It should be in there.
Yeah, just I wanted to have an addition on there that it include as well, because it's basically referring to arriving late, leaving early, but it's not accounting for anyone that's leaving the meeting temporarily during the meeting.
Right. Never experience that.
Well, yeah.
I can pretty much promise you will, but this time I knew to ask for a recess, and I knew that from reading the document.
So, well, we didn't
have a section. We can do it.
Yeah, so anyway, I think it's in minutes.
Well, I think for a washroom break, I don't think it should have helped all. It's just that anything.
Well, if a council leaves and it's right in the middle of a resolution, it needs to be noted that that councillor was not present in case at some point in time, you know, it's, well, it's referred to that discussion. Well, you were there at the discussion. Well, no, I wasn't. I went to the bathroom where I had to leave to do something for... It's not just arriving late, leaving early. It's leaving the council chambers for a period of time during the meeting.
Yeah, I was thinking, especially for the passing of a resolution.
2.12, where it says also, member must inform the chair and be excused.
2.12?
Okay. Yeah.
Good, we can fix that up.
Sorry, 2.12, is that what you said?
Yeah.
On what page? Where am I?
10.
Sorry, you're right, it is there, so... Although I'm curious that on page 7 we have 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, 2.4. No, I'm
it's
sorry. No, you're right. It does follow. Sorry.
2.12.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... Sorry, my stupidity, so... Can I just ask, while we're talking about that, then on 2.10... bullet point number 5, number V. I mean, we say at the beginning of this that this applies to any local board or committee. If we had that as a requirement for members arriving late and leaving early for committees, I don't see that in any committee reports. Maybe they're always there for the whole thing. I'm just wondering if it's not a little too onerous anyhow, but I don't have a problem with the principle. It's just...
Yeah, I think for the main things, if you say they should follow the procedure, but I think some little things like that, it does say in here somewhere, as adapted for committee of council sort of
thing. Okay.
So I don't think you have to follow strictly all of the rules, but I think the big problem in the past has been the declaring pecuniary interest, as I said before, so I think that has to be done. And as far as arriving and leaving, I'm not sure. Because you lose connections, too, with your environmental committee. I mean, some people are on there, then they're off, and you're not going to keep track of all that.
I know.
Because she runs the meeting, plus she reports, she does the minutes.
She's the secretary, too, yes, you're right. So it's extremely different. So, can I go back a couple of pages to 2.9? I mean, frankly, I've got lots of comments, and some of them are pretty benign, but... at the bottom of the page there, about, you know, providing, shall notify the clerk at least 24 hours in advance before the meeting if I'm not going to make it. As a perfect example, that when I had that leak in my basement, whatever it was, a couple meetings ago, obviously I wasn't aware of that prior to that point, but I mean, I literally had, a flooding in my basement at the moment. I mean, obviously I wasn't able to provide 24 hours notice, but I did have an intention to be here and was able to join via Zoom. My point being, so what I did was amend this to say, or as otherwise agreed by council or majority council.
Or you could even go something if possible.
It's not in all situations are you able to know. If I knew, I would say. If I don't know, and I didn't. What was it going to do?
Yeah, so
but again, this still comes back to the closed issue. If I'm not there, but I'm part of the conversation, and I have a desire to vote, and I would, then why wouldn't I be allowed to vote just because I'm not physically present? I do understand your concern, and perhaps we can find a mitigation to that, but certainly that would be so unethical, I would never do it. I am aware from other groups, nothing to do with council, where people do that, but I would not do that. That's just completely unethical to have my friends sitting over here off the side and you can't see them, you can't hear them. Although in my experience on Zoom, sooner or later you would hear them. You might hear my grandkids sometimes, but that's about it. So I don't know. I mean, and yes, of course, it's personal to me because of that situation, but I don't see why we would discount the ability of that councillor to vote in the situation as long as they've participated in the discussion and heard everything.
Well, you know, it's a council decision because sure. Some do it and some don't. So okay. We'll have to decide.
I think if we look at some of the previous versions, it did mention that anyone participating virtually did not count for quorum.
Yeah.
In a closed session.
Mm. Then should they be participating if they're not part of the quorum?
Yeah, so it's just maybe to review any versions that mention that to see if that's applicable. Mm. But then again, if all of council is functioning virtually for some reason, and that other versions had it specifically that virtual meetings of all of council were specific to emergency situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know some other municipalities that councillors can only attend a certain amount of meetings virtually in a month. They do have to attend by
number of virtual. Yeah, okay.
So it gets complicated.
Yeah.
But I think it would be wise simply to state unless agreed otherwise by council. Right? Having said that, maybe they're not allowed to vote on that at that time. I don't know. But, I mean, I understand the concern. I think it's legit. I have seen it happen with other organizations I've been part of where people were doing that and unethically sharing, you know, the content with people that were keeping quiet. And obviously that's completely wrong. But I think there can be a way to mitigate it, right? And or, I mean, I certainly wouldn't intend to do that intentionally. But if it happens because of necessity, I think we should accommodate it within a parameter. And I think we can specify what the parameter is.
I'm just thinking, if possible, it's probably easier than say, well, that's determined by council, because how do you get the council together to determine it?
Yeah, no, I realized that as soon as I said it. Yeah, that's catch-22 is what yeah. That is. So
I think this, you know, you make every attempt to give 24-hour notice, and if you can't because of emergency or whatever, then I think that would be acceptable. My experience has been in the past, whatever, that we seldomly even have to refer to this, that we know the rules generally and that we follow them, and I think you can attest to that, but how many? I've never seen the procedural bylaw change so many times in the last few years. And part of it was the electronic, mm-hmm. but I don't think it has to be changed that often. And I think if everybody understands, now if somebody protests something, you have to go back and open the rule book. But I think generally, as long as we're agreeable with, you know, what is acceptable, what isn't, like even tonight now, having public joined in, we have an actual question period for the public, and there's nobody left to actually avail themselves of that. But the thing is, I think it's functioning well, and it's, you know, it could have been quite controversial tonight, but it wasn't. And I think it works well if they think they're part of it and they're contributing. Now, you may, you know, give me instruction not to do that anymore. It might get out of hand, and in which case I'll listen to you. But I'm just thinking the rule book, yes, we'll get it there and put it down in print, but hopefully we never have to refer to it again.
But now,
is that on the record? Does that give me the resolution?
Speaking of which, you've got to change your
No, I'm just touching on your 2.9A where contacting the clerk 24 hours prior. Does that mean every one of us has to contact Ina or Kylie?
If electronic.
If electronic.
Yeah. Right. They just need to know that you're not coming in person, that you'll be coming through soon.
Right. Okay.
But you could make the case for in-person meetings, too. In other words, to make sure you got quorum, it's important that we know. Because if four people know they're not going to come, and we tell Ina, well, three people for that matter. I mean,
no, you can still get by even with two. If the rules are written in such a way that if people have conflicts of interest, and believe it or not, two people can run the meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I certainly agree with that, but that can happen because of conflicts. They don't want the meeting to stop altogether.
Okay, but common courtesy is the same thing, too. You tell people, so.
Yeah, but I never promise that I'm going to be there or not be there because there's always a situation, yeah. Too, where you know you say, oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow, and you may never. So I hate to be that determined that that's when it's going to be.
Okay.
Like, you could say that, yes, I'll be there, count me in, have a meeting, and then you don't show up. So that's even worse, I think. But anyway, we're getting into the nitty-gritty.
I know. I'm trying not to do that. But.
Okay, Councilor Keckner.
So I know in the previous version, it's in there as well, but point of procedure in previous versions, it was point of order. Point of procedure is, you know, pretty well encompassing
the procedural bylaw. So it's not a big deal as long as I think we understand that point of order and point of procedure are basically the same.
Yeah.
Same.
And the one that was taken out is point of privilege. I don't think that's...
It's still, yeah, it's in here.
It's, oh,
is it still in there?
Yeah. So that almost aligns with the point of order with the definitions in the 2009 version. So it's not a big thing. I think it covers all the different situations that may be encountered.
Yeah.
And as well, it does refer to Robert's Rules of Order to be referred to and the parliamentary...
Yeah, hopefully we never have to go to Robert's. It's so confusing, but...
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that's just a very minor detail, but it's
can I jump in with a simple one?
Mm-hmm. Simple, okay.
It is very simple. On 2.16 on page 14, item G, it says, walk between a member who is speaking to the chair. How are you walking between a member who is speaking to the chair? In other words, I think it should say who is speaking, comma, and the chair. In other words, I don't get in between Morley and you, right?
No, I'm speaking to the chair. You're talking to me, and Morley decides for some reason to walk.
Okay, but if you read the sentence, walk between a member.
Right.
How am I doing that?
A member and the chair. There's two people.
And that's my point. It needs to say and the chair, not to the chair.
Where is it?
That's a very minor point, but in other words, you can't walk between thing.
Walk between a member who is speaking to the chair. Who is speaking to the chair is a clause that goes with member. It's not a separate. So the member who is speaking to the chair, that's one person.
But how am I walking between one person?
You're talking to me, and Morley walks between us.
I understand that. That's my point exactly. But you can't walk, if you take out the and the chair... And leave the to the chair, then how am I... I mean, here, this would literally mean that I could walk between one person, which is impossible.
I'm not
following. It's bad grammar. I mean, I have to walk between A and B. Okay? A is the speaker, and B is the chair.
Okay.
But you can't walk between one... I can't walk between Morley.
They misinterpreted, I'm sorry.
I think this is directly taken from Robert's Rules of Order.
Notwithstanding, it's bad grammar.
Well,
notwithstanding,
you're talking to a grammarian for over 30 years, and I'm saying this is the way it's interpreted. I don't understand, how you're interpreting it that way. I see why you are, I guess, but...
Well, between this and that. But you can't walk between one thing. What, am I going to walk through his chest?
Well, say he's sitting back. And you got up and went across over there.
That's true, but I'm walking between you and the chair.
Yeah, and you're not
but
supposed
you can't
to do
walk,
that.
I understand that completely, but I can't walk between Debbie.
Here. Can you go to the start of that? We may have to extend our meeting. No member shall. That goes over all those clauses. No
okay,
member
fair
shall
enough. You're right.
Walk
you're right.
Between a member who is speaking to the chair.
Okay, you're right because of the colon. You're right. So...
All right. So you mean it should end at 10 o'clock?
Sure.
Approved.
You don't want to change that, huh? I had 11 in there for a reason. Because
yeah, because what's the sentence? Pass a bunch of resolutions all the time. Mm-hmm. As well make it unlimited.
No, the idea is that that's the maximum sort of thing. If we reach that, we shouldn't have to extend it. 10 I found in the past was a little short, maybe.
I remember being here till 1.
Yeah, that was a special meeting. Councilor Peck.
I think that throughout the last couple of years, I've been taking notes in the procedural bylaw that I had, and I think that all these the updates and revisions is an excellent compilation of updates that were required or changes. So, yeah, thank you for doing the work and
thank you.
Yeah,
for putting together a good document.
Yeah. It's never going to be perfect.
No.
Yeah,
let's pass all the resolutions now. And our resolution is Morley's going to do all the damn work, okay?
So. Please do. Hurry up.
Okay, those changes won't take much to make. We have it ready for the next meeting.
this be the meeting on the 17th?
No, that's just
okay, the regular council.
Hopefully Marla makes it back before we have to.
Do you know where we talk about adjournment? I don't know what's in here somewhere. 6.5, okay, there we go. It's under 6.19A, which is on near the bottom of page 24. We're talking about halfway through that paragraph. It says, failure to vacate the building when requested may result in the head of council and or the majority of council suspending the meeting until order is restored. That's different than adjourning, which is a 6.5. Sorry, I looked it up.
Where are you? What number?
Well, that's 6.5 on page 27. It's adjournment as a topic, but I was in 6.19A near the bottom of that, but on the bottom of page 24. Well, fourth from the bottom, sorry. I'm not clear exactly why I wrote that down. Suspending is different than... suspending implies that we could re-enable, or whatever word that would be, after that person had left the building. Left the room.
Suspended implies that it could start again. Yes.
Okay, then that's fine. I don't know.
Okay. All in question? All those in favor? Get all the changes we need?
Morley's making all of them, isn't he?
we just voted on that. None opposed? You're not even cooperating anymore. I don't know if you read that. This is for two readings and the third reading at the 24th.
Sounds good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not a bold carry.
Thank you for doing that. I don't know how much time it took, but I imagine a lot to do this. So.
Okay, resolved, Council Corporation Tasha Keller does hereby extend the meeting of curfew by a further 15 minutes to 10:45 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Unfinished business, new business, public notices, announcements, inquiries, and reports by council members. There's your chance. Report on your committee meetings. Briefly.
Briefly. Well, rec committee, lots going on. We now offer yoga, as was mentioned. I believe Jane's doing it 3 days a week, so hopefully that goes good for her. I have a feeling it will. This coming Saturday, no public here, as you're telling us to, but McKellar is celebrating 150th kickoff ceremony this Saturday, starting at 2 o'clock. You can listen to Georgian Bay Winds, have some refreshments, watch images of old McKellar on the big screen. Etc. So that's the kickoff for our 150th celebrations, and there'll be lots more happening along the way.
Okay. Good. Anyone else? Any committee reports? Okay, on to consent agenda.
Can I ask a question, Dave?
Sure.
Did we do anything for the seniors? Presentation?
Yes, I think the left in principle it was going to be free of charge.
Okay, so we didn't have to do a motion?
No, I think that would be in next place. Councillor Haskins said we draw something up.
Okay. Yeah, if something needs to be drawn, staff can do it prior to the next meeting.
And we won't charge in the meantime.
Right, okay.
Right,
right. You've got to make it retroactive just in case
we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is good. That really was imperative when you listen to that conversation, so.
In the resolution 23-54, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland, be resolved the Council of Corporation Township McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Question, comment, period. Public. Confirming bylaw, resolution 23-55, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Hassan. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township McClellan is hereby give bylaw number 2023-09, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council. First and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open Council this 10th day of January 2023. Question? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And adjournment. Resolution 23-56, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation, Township McClellan, adjourns this meeting at
10:33 p.m.
To meet again on January 17, 2023, for a public meeting under the Planning Act or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.
Oh. Hallelujah.
That was a lot on the agenda.
Is
he okay with the 24/7?
Yes, yes. Okay.
Meetings. Oh, that is good.